Great writing about California's natural world is compelling and concrete, encouraging us to be personally in touch with the elements of our environment. Earth, wind, fire, and water, timeless elements of California's natural world. Here now, water. Never mind gold and oil. Water is California's most precious resource, so much so that writers here have long written about the problem of treating water as a finite commodity, one everyone needs. Here's John Farnsworth from the Environmental Studies Institute of Santa Clara University.
Because upwards of 80% of our water goes to agriculture, California is the most thirsty state in the nation. To help quench our thirst, we've built over 1,400 dams throughout the state. We're only now beginning to understand the environmental consequences of these dams as far as our native California fish are concerned.
During the 1960s, California author Richard Brautigan made a splash with the novel Trout Fishing in America. 100 pages into the book, Brautigan walks into a wrecking yard and sees a sign saying, "Used trout stream for sale. Must be seen to be appreciated."
Then a salesman came up to me and said in a pleasant voice, "Can I help you?" "Yes," I said. "I'm curious about the trout stream you have for sale. How are you selling it?" "We're selling it by the foot length. You can buy as little as you want, or you can buy all we've got left. A man came in here this morning and bought 563 feet. He's going to give it to his niece for a birthday present. We're selling the waterfall separately, of course. The insects we're giving away for free with a minimum purchase of 10 feet of stream."
May Merrill Miller grew up near Hanford in the southern San Joaquin Valley. Inspired by stories of the pioneers who settled the area, she wrote the 1938 novel First the Blade, whose main character, Emily Blansford, is deeply moved when a local irrigation project is completed.
"The waters rushed into the void, one huge, shining, silty, moving mass, then released, pouring and thrashing down through the wooden flume box in the way cut for it in the dry valley earth. Emily's eyes followed the running tongue of water, the ditch bed dry before it, until it reached to the next gate, with a group of men standing ready. Then it too was opened, and on to the next, and the next, and the next, men standing waiting by the gates as far as she could see."
Water gives us life and waters our land, but it also nourishes our hearts. When Mark Twain visited Lake Tahoe in 1861, the clarity of the water astonished him, and in his 1872 book, Roughing It, he recorded his impressions.
"So singularly clear was the water that where it was only 20 or 30 feet deep, the bottom was so perfectly distinct that the boat seemed to be floating in the air. As we lay on our faces, a granite boulder, as large as a village church, would start out the bottom apparently, till presently it threatened to touch our faces. So empty and airy did all spaces seem below us, and so strong was the sense of floating high aloft in mid-nothingness, that we called these boat excursions balloon voyages."
Here in California, we've learned that it's far more cost-effective to spend money conserving water than developing additional water supply systems.
Again, John Farnsworth.
Some experts predict that we can save another 2.4 million acre-feet of water using off-the-shelf technologies currently available. That's a lot of water.
Next time you fill a glass, take a shower, catch a fish, even the next time you admire the dazzling beauty of a mountain lake, think of how we take seemingly ordinary water for granted. Examine your own experience of outdoor California to appreciate better what's at stake here. For the California Legacy Project at Santa Clara University, I'm Terry Beers. Water is a production of the California Legacy Project at Santa Clara University, californialegacy.org, and featured Kevin Hurl, Dan Maloney, and Jessica Teeter. Music and post-production by Bernhard Drax at Draxter.com.